Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness, and you have found the Holderness Family Podcast.
We are so happy you're here.
Yeah, and we're happy to be here. We record these a lot of times when we've just got a little bit of time to be with each other. It's sort of our weird version of therapy, being able to just turn everything else off and be there for each other. And that's what we're doing today.
Yeah, it is my very favorite thing we do. So thank you for subscribing and listening and all your support. We had just gone on the Instagram and said, hey, do you have any questions for us? We were feeling like we just needed to put ourselves out there and see what you guys were thinking about and where you guys wanted to help lead this podcast. By the way, always open to guest suggestions, topic suggestions on this podcast, because I feel like this is a tool for all of us to learn how to live life a little better, to adult a little better. So we got hundreds and hundreds, which is very flattering, and so many that we have broken them up into topics.
Four categories.
And right? We are going to have a lot of and some great ideas for future podcasts. So stay tuned.
So here's the topics that we're going to break them up into. We had just kind of a general questions one with great questions. My favorite one from the general questions one, which we won't answer today, is from Darlington Abigail, who asked, what's your deal?
What's your deal? Honestly,
it's a great question.
Great question.
And we're going to get to that in a later week. We've got.
Why, we can't answer that now?
You know what? Let's give him a bonus answer.
Bonus answer.
Here's my deal, Abigail. I am a little bit hyperactive. I love life. I'm a little hard to lasso in sometimes. I like writing music. I like playing music. I like watching basketball. And I really like my wife. That's my deal. What's your deal, Kim?
My deal, I am... It's so funny. I saw this TikTok and I'm going to try to get it word for word. I'm a lazy perfectionist. Mm-hmm. That borders on anxiousness, but and yes, and also tries to find joy in everyday things. So I say lazy perfectionist because I want my surroundings and things around me to be perfect, but I'm also not really willing at this stage of my life to put in the effort to get it there. Yeah. So that's what I'm feeling like right now. So that's my deal right now.
Oh my gosh, last night your deal was... So last night, Kim's deal, she just didn't want... She didn't want to do anything, but she wanted to do something.
I know.
She wanted, and she didn't want anything that anybody else was doing to be what she was doing. She actually looked at me last night because she was so tired, and we could talk about this as well. Like, this has been kind of an overwhelming couple of weeks for us, mm-hmm. right? So she had her hand on her temples, and I talked to Penn Charles about turning on a basketball game, you know, because we were done with dinner. We'd done all the dishes. Like, let's watch a basketball game with my son. Let's co-watch. And so Kim looks at me and she goes, so what are you going to do? You're going to watch the basketball game? Is that what we're doing now? And Ben Charles and I just started laughing. We're like, what was that? Like, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know, but I know it's not that.
Okay. So do you ever, you guys, we're going to get to your questions in a second.
Yeah. But
do you ever, I have a question for you, dear listener. Do you ever get in those moods that I think the word Adam Grant came up with, and he wrote this whole New York Times thing about called like a languishing. But it's just, if you had said, hey, Kim, you could teleport right now to a sunshining beach with a fruity cocktail, I would have been like, I guess, sure, that sounds great. Or if you would have said, like, teleport to Paris and you could be eating like a baguette and drinking a bottle of wine, I've been like, yeah. Like, there was nothing that I overwhelmingly wanted to do in that moment. I kind of just wanted to be on my couch, and but not really. Like, in that moment, I just felt antsy in my own skin. And so I just decided that I needed to put myself to bed at 8 o'clock. Because I was doing more harm than good to the people around me. You guys were really funny and you handled it well. And then I started laughing because I realized the ridiculousness of it. But like everything everybody else was doing was annoying me. I was annoying myself. I was terrible. I'm like, I'm going to exit this situation so I don't create harm.
Well, don't you think it's healthy to have at least some humor when it comes to that? God. Like, we weren't poking fun at you. But it was, you know, it was a moment where, rather than escalating, sometimes laughing is okay.
No, it was the only way to deal with it. And you needed to laugh at me at that moment because I was like, ugh. But if you'd asked me what I wanted to watch, I would have been like, ugh.
Well, you would pull the, I don't know, like, I don't want to choose. You guys choose. And then we would choose and you would go, no.
And you, I think you were really sweet and gave me a lot of grace because this is, first of all, with everything happening in Ukraine, it is impossible not to absorb the images we're seeing. It's impossible not to feel helpless. I mean, we've donated to the places we see, but still, that's like you're sending off this electronic money into a void, which I know is going to be put to use, and it's great. But you just want to wrap these people and these families and just save them from this. So I think there's a bit of a fatigue that everyone's feeling. And then I'm trying hard to still feel joy in the life experience we just had.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Right.
This incredible experience. We just won the Amazing Race. And it's something we had worked really hard for. And we got to celebrate with our friends and we made lifelong friends. And we're still doing, by the way, Amazing Race podcasts with different people. You can check those out on Thursday as well, while supplies last. But you nailed it when you said, Kim, we've been on high alert for so long because of this TV show. Either shooting it, we ended up, the finale shot October 6th, so we were kind of clenching that entire time, and then it started airing in January. So every week we were just like on high alert of like, what are they going to put in there? What are they not going to put in there? What, you know, how are they going to, you know, what is it going to look like? They were very gracious. I mean, I don't think we gave them anything that they could edit to possibly be bad, but you know, you're on high alert.
And I thought at first, I was like, is this something that's unique to my wife? Because the first couple of weeks I noticed it with you, and then it started happening to me. And I realized that there's something about watching the show after you've been on it that puts you emotionally back in that space. And it doesn't matter how put together or not put together you are, it just happens. And when we talked to the rest of the cast members, they were all dealing with this exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you they're all pretty tired too. I mean, look, I am not complaining. We won the Amazing Race. We won some good money. I'm so thrilled with the outcome, but it, like the other side, I'm curious, because we haven't talked to them too much in the last few days. I wonder if some of them are having the same kind of like physical and emotional crash back into whatever the reality of our real lives are, because I'm feeling it as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a different way from you, but our productivity this week was poor. There were some other reasons why. My dad went back to the hospital. You know, we're having these tough conversations about transitioning into a different type of care, like comfort care for him, which is, whew, that was a lot. Like that took like 4 days out of me. But this week, we haven't done This is the most productive thing we've done all week, is sitting in front of a microphone.
And we knew we wanted, you know, so we didn't shoot a new video this week, which is rare because normally 52 weeks out of the year, we're shooting at least two or three videos. But we knew enough to give ourselves some grace and say, you know, let's just take a break.
Yeah.
And listen, nobody's going to die if we don't shoot a video. But I will say, yeah, you know what? You spent the night in the hospital. I didn't do as much time with your dad in the hospital, but I was there a little bit. You know, and your brother and sister-in-law obviously are so good, but it's still the emotional weight of that was a lot for you. And for our family. So,
you know what? Let's do something. You and I talked about this beforehand and we had plans on doing one category. And I think you wanted to do what, the marriage one or the parenting one, like a specific one. I think for this week, the conversation that we just had, and we're just in the need to just kind of get back going. Why don't we go with, like, there's some kind of fun, quirky, general questions. Why don't we do the general questions?
So as we're not going so deep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've already answered Sherry Corkum, the first question on here.
I love Sherry.
Sherry asked, how are you guys doing? Which I think a lot of people just assume that we're doing amazing, right? And so I think we're already actively answering that question. That the how are you doing is actually a very thoughtful question to ask somebody right now.
And Sherry's a good friend.
Yeah.
I will say we got home from watching The Amazing Race and immediately our dog got our sheets and comforter or like duvet cover dirty. So I had to strip the sheets and then our washer overfilled. And so like life doesn't, like zero part of our life has changed. No,
Sunny didn't get the memo that we won The Amazing Race.
I know.
Trying to tell her, she's unaware. She doesn't care.
And then your dad went into the hospital. So life didn't change for that. There is, and we will be talking about this in the future. There was I would say 25% of the questions were, what are you going to do with the money? We are going to have, we will be talking about that. But I will say 40% goes to the government, 30% we are sharing. So that leaves but still, like our kids' college, if we invest it now, will be covered.
And that was the initial feeling that we had from even like before the race started.
Right.
That would be what we would do with it.
Right. So we'll talk more about that. But that, yeah, I'm going to afford to be able to get my car fixed because Penn backed into it by accident. Mm-hmm. And
super aware of that.
And then the kids go to college. So that's about it.
Yeah.
Our couch leg is broken. We're not getting a new couch. We're fixing the couch.
All right. Okay. Silver Curly _ mom. What are your dream jobs?
Ooh, I think it's this.
So I wanted to say that because I do love this job. There's only one job I would rather have than this.
You'd rather be an astronaut.
I would rather be an astronaut.
Yeah.
I get motion sickness now, so I think that ship has sailed.
And your vision is crap.
My vision is horrible. I would not fit into the launch device.
Is there a height limit?
I just see them getting all strapped in and it just looks,
it'd be very,
it reminds me of that like one roller coaster at Disney that's like meant for a 6-year-old that they're basically wrecked my knees forever. So maybe it's this. For so long it was being an astronaut. Like I want to go into space. I want to see the earth beneath me and realize how small and insignificant I am. For some reason that gives me like such a rush. And then your only other dream job I could think of would be the Napa Valley Jam store, right? Isn't that one of your dream jobs?
You know, and I was thinking about this morning because I was thinking, you know, I don't know that The Amazing Race, and I promise we'll stop talking about it, but it was impactful in a lot of ways, but it showed me at least that I have this really, this mental bucket list and I'm kind of waiting for the moment to where, oh, I'm retired, I'm no longer working, the kids are gone, now we can attack this bucket list, but I should be attacking it now because we are younger, youngish, and healthy. Like we should be attacking bucket list now. There are so many things I want to do, but realistically, even if we didn't have full-time jobs and kids that needed to go places, I wouldn't get to do everything before it was my time to go meet Jesus. And issues with your dad kind of brought this to my forefront. Like he lived such a very, very full life and now he's not capable of doing a lot, you know, or even noticing it. So what can we do now to kind of live our dreams, retire as we go? And I'm just like trying to enjoy life more, but also that comes with, I want to open a jam store in Napa.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a bookstore in a tiny town where everybody drinks coffee. But realistically, yeah, I'm not going to get to that. And that's very sad.
Can you tell them the name that I came up with for your jelly store?
I don't remember.
It was going to be, I don't think you're ready for this jelly. It would be a jelly and jam store, like on a roadside, by the way.
On a roadside.
Like, not in like fancy Napa, but like you want a roadside, like on the way.
On the way. And just sell like really good crusty bread and jam. And I don't, but there's 1,000 different lifetimes that I want to live. Like part of me wants to like have a farm with chickens. And then the other part of me wants to live in Paris. So I'm just not going to get to it all. And it's really overwhelming.
I didn't realize that that dream job would be an overwhelming question for you.
Yeah, I know. But I even, my friend Monica, who does, you know, like all these like home makeovers, and she's on Kelly and Ryan all the time. And I had told her at one point, I'm like, oh God, I want to start a cooking blog. I just love these. I love to cook. I'm not good at it, but I'm not good enough to start a cooking blog. And her language around this was really good. She goes, I've discovered I'm the type of person who, I want to be the type of person who has a cooking blog or a baking blog, but I'm not. So I realized that I just want to be that type of person, but that's not going to happen. I'm like, oh, you're right. So like, I want to be the type of person that has backyard chickens, but I'm not that type of person.
No, you would hate that.
They would wake me up. Yeah. They're kind of messy.
You're not a backyard chick. I can tell you that right now.
But I want to be that type of person.
Right.
But I'm not. And this was a really simple question that somebody asked.
Yeah.
So my dream job. So, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
I think my dream job is this because I love this sense of accomplishment of creating something out of nothing. I love the connection that this creates. Penn is so bored right now. But I love to write the blogs, and I love to do the podcast because I think we get the most thoughtful responses. And I feel a good connection, and I'm giving him the middle finger right now. Okay, go.
Why are you giving me the middle finger?
Because you don't like my answer.
I loved it when it started. That was a good, I mean, honestly, it's a good answer. But maybe this will be a quicker one. Let's see. Lynn's parent, car rides. Do you do music or podcasts?
Podcast.
Yeah, I do too. Like when I'm by myself, for sure, podcasts. We have different podcasts we listen to. But when we're together, if we're going on a long trip, we do a DJ game where we have the Apple Music up. Mm-hmm. And I pick a song, and then she has to pick a song that has one of the same words as that song. And we did that all the way to Charleston, right? It was like a 4-hour drive, and that was fun. We're coming right back.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, it's like a different type of sweat.
Ugh.
And you and I did like a thing, and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car, and it was just like...
There is a lot of pit sweat.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years, and her Whole Body DO has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts. More like a
pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code HOLDERNESS at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code HOLDERNESS.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E.
Okay, Miss Kylie, do you really need all those perfect sleeping conditions depicted in your 20s versus 40s video? Yeah. So I need a total darkness. I need like a little white noise. I need at least, I mean, two pillows is good. Three is better. Yeah, totally.
There's other stuff too. So you have like a brown noise thing, or brown noise is different. Like white noise, or what's
it
called?
It's a white noise app, but brown is the right color.
If there's a light on and it's just the underneath the door sliver, that's no good. If I leave the bathroom door open and there's a shadow from the street light outside, that's no good. And it, like, look, I have my own quirks as well. I happen to be a heavy sleeper. I also happen to snore. So we have an available bed if things aren't working out well that I just head down the way.
I know. I woke up. He stayed up really late to watch basketball last night. And I woke up this morning about 5:45, which is when I typically wake up. And it was like yawning, stretching. The birds were chirping. I was like, wow, Penn didn't snore last night. I was like, oh, he's not here. love you. So, yeah, we sometimes sleep in different beds and it's great. You go.
Okay. Well, I like asking you questions.
No, we can. Yeah.
Because I'm curious. I'm learning a lot about you on this podcast. So Super Adian Nature asks, are there more doors or wheels in the world?
That's a big debate right now on TikTok.
I had no idea.
It's a huge debate.
What's the meaning of it? Is it something?
No, somebody asked the question of like, are there more doors or wheels? And there's debate.
I mean, in a car, it's a tie unless you're dealing with a two-door.
But then you think about wheels. Are we talking about, because one of my favorite TikTok follows, Hank Green, said he just showed all the wheels in his house for Lego toys and, you know.
Right, but also your house doesn't have wheels and there's doors in your house.
Like, I know, but think in this house, how many Lego wheels there are?
I feel like fewer than doors?
No, we have a lot of Lego.
Do you think we, I mean, because we have probably 30 doors in this house.
I know. Well, this is, we're going to put it out to the audience. What do you guys think? It's a huge debate.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess there's going to be little places where you can find wheels. That's a good point. Okay.
Somebody said, Michelle Younghouse, we miss Lola. Is she okay?
You know what? And I was kind of aggregating this. There were three of those questions.
Really?
About Lola. Well, listen, Lola is a very charming young woman, and she jumps off the video when she is there. And she's got a great kind of dry sense of humor that she, I think, has gleaned from both of us. The short answer, and I'll let Kim elaborate, is Lola's in high school and she is okay. I think she's doing great.
She's doing great. Honestly, I'm so excited for her. So she plays tennis pretty competitively, but then just decided, and it fills me with so much joy. She's like, I think I want to join the track team. And Penn and I were looking at her like, the what? What? Okay. And so she joined the track team. And it's just the coolest thing because I love it because I was fearing that tennis was becoming her whole identity so that if she didn't do well, it would, you know. Anyway, she's just, I want to be her when I grow up. She knows herself so well. And I have to say, even we went to the finale party in Miami and there's all these photographers wanting to take her picture on the red carpet. And she did. And I asked her, I'm like, do you want to? And she said, oh, yeah. And then she finished. She goes, I don't think that's the type of, she's like, I don't really enjoy that. I don't think I'm the red carpet type of person. I was like, good for you for knowing that. I don't think I am either. And she's 15 and can say it out loud. But we drop her off for school. I dropped her off at 7:30 today, and I won't see her because of sports until probably 7:30 at night tonight, and then she does homework. So the parents of little babies, kind of, you know, take that afternoon and evening time and cherish it because it is in high school non-existent. Like, we just don't see a lot of her.
And she doesn't even have a car yet.
Apparently,
once they get a car, it's just like, it was nice seeing you. I'll see you.
I already told her she's not going to really get a car. She's going to share a family car.
Yeah. All right, here's some more. Jwater11, How you guys feeling about COVID? Still concerned over it? No judgment, just curious.
It's interesting. We are big followers of science over here.
Yeah.
If you followed this podcast, they told us to stay home. We stayed home. They told us to wear a mask. We wore a mask. We got vaxxed. We got boosted. I mean, you do you, and you can turn off this podcast if that offends you, but we followed science. And
science has been pretty chill right now.
Yes.
Science has chilled out a bit.
Yeah. So we did the thing even over the holidays. We had holiday plans and Omicron was going crazy and we canceled some plans because we wanted to be safe. But then now they're telling us that 90% of the people don't need to wear a mask anymore. And so in the state of North Carolina where we are, they had a mask mandate for a real long time, which we followed and agreed with.
Right.
In our city, in the city of Raleigh, they had a mask mandate up, I think, until last week indoors.
Yeah, it was lifted on Friday.
Yeah, so we went to the gym, we wore a mask, and it was fine because we were following the rules of our town.
I hated it, but it was fine. Working out with asthma with a mask was very difficult, but we got through it.
Right.
It didn't affect our productivity.
Right. And so now they're saying we don't have to. And, you know, it's funny, one of our children, because masks came optional at school, one of our children, and I don't need to, said, and I think it would surprise you who, it was like, thank God, took it off. And one of our children still wants to wear it. And so that one child is still wearing it, one is not. And I was like, that's your choice. So we have one child that I feel like it's like a security blanket a little bit and will still wear it. Penn and I went to have indoor, like we went to pizza yesterday. Yeah. And we walked in without a mask and it was really weird, but we did it because they're saying we don't have to.
Yeah. So I just want to add one thing onto that. Personally, how I'm feeling about it, I am a big fan of science. We have been following science. Even though science is telling us in some places that things are okay, there's like three or four places where I just don't feel comfortable without a mask on. And I think I'm going to take that with me forever. I don't like being in an elevator without a mask anymore. I don't like being in a public restroom without a mask anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't like being on an airplane without a mask anymore.
Yeah.
It feels, every single one of them feels just a little bit unsafe, like untethered to something. The rest of it, I quickly adjusted back to my older habits. I understand that there are still risks involved, but it's not just science that we follow. It's data or data, however you want to pronounce it. The data right now is showing that we appear to be in a safer place in this world right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because I think some people and some leaders did choose to follow science. And so,
if they tell us that we need to put the mask back on, I will, and I won't complain. Yeah. But I'm trying to do the practice, what we preach, which was listen to science. And then if science says we're good, but we are also very respectful of people who choose to still do that. You know, it's so funny. I haven't been to Target or to a grocery store.
You think you're going to want to wear a mask?
I don't know.
Yeah. Just keep like a mental list of places where you're just going to keep wearing one. And my one advice to people, and I don't want to get preachy about this, but I think let people keep wearing masks.
Yeah.
Like my son, at one point I was like, dude, you can take that off. And then I realized, no, he can do whatever he wants to.
I was just trying to keep it. I was trying to not tell them which kid wanted the mask.
Oh, whoops. No, PC wants the mask.
He still wants the mask. And so he feels safer with that. And he wants to play, you know, he plays basketball and he still wears it. And hey, that's fine.
Yep.
Yeah. is Penn's name short for something?
Oh, this is going to be easy. This is like, honestly, like this was a pickup line if girls ask me. It's short for Penn.
Did that pickup line work?
No, of course it didn't work.
I would have advised against using that.
I mean, I'm not really in the market anymore, but okay. These will be quick ones. How do you take your coffee?
Blick.
Yep. I'm with a little bit of almond milk or with a little bit of oat milk, if I can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite things to do when not working. This is from Heatherly Place.
I want to start a series called Hobby Hunting or Kim Gets a Life or something like that, because it has come to my attention that I have no hobbies and I have no life. And I'm actually okay with it, which is a problem.
I think you have a hobby of hunting for hobbies.
Which could be its own hobby.
Yeah, you're like a dabbler.
Yeah, well, I do love to exercise. So I do work out every day in some form. I mean, PC and I went on a run this morning. I'll go for a walk. We'll go to the gym. So if working out is a boring hobby, but I work out and watch pimple popping videos on TikTok.
Yep.
What about you?
Paddle sports, tennis and pickleball.
Paddle sports. Who says paddle sports?
Well, just because okay. If I could learn, there's something called paddle ball, which is like in this like crazy enclosed cage, but I think you have to be really bougie to like have access to a court. I really want to play that too. I just love all paddle sports. So
I think I really, every time I play pickleball, I enjoy it. We did play pickleball. The last time I played was after Christmas and played with a very dear friend. And that the person she was playing with was very competitive. And oh, yeah. I did not enjoy that as much.
Yeah, you got to find your crew.
Yeah, I need to find people who want to be better, but also okay if you're not.
I think all of my things that I like doing because of work are guided by the social side of it too, because all of like my tennis and my pickleball, it comes with like a group of friends who I really like. That's the real reason why I like it. I think honestly, if we live somewhere else with a different group of friends and I didn't like that group of friends, I don't think I would do the same. I don't think I would play it as much.
Tribal Council blog, which does a lot of the reality show recaps and stuff like that, asks, buying a home, what's the most valuable room to consider and invest in first?
Kitchen.
You think?
Yeah. It's where everybody ends up. Have you guys ever thrown a party and you put all these like snacks and great things in the living room over by the TV and you put some like a little nook by the breakfast room and everybody walks into the kitchen?
It's interesting. We bought this house 6 years ago and the it was already kind of under construction by the builder. So we didn't get a bunch of say. We redid the interior a little bit to make some adjustments, but not a lot. But the architect who we never even met, I mean, they'd already had this design. The bedrooms actually in this house are not big. They are smaller than our old house. And the theory was that it pushes people out into common areas. So our children's bedrooms are not big. Our bedroom's not huge at all.
No.
But it's good because then we spend time in the living room. We have this sort of family room on the second floor. And it's good. So I actually really enjoy that. Lola has a friend who has a suite, a bedroom suite. So it's a bedroom plus this hidden door study and this huge walk-in closet. And, you know, Lola gets so jealous talking about it. But I was like, I would never see her. For as good of a relationship as we have, we're very close. Think about it. She disappears in there to do homework and then she just doesn't come out. I mean, if you have a kitchenette in your room, you're never coming out. So I like that their rooms are smaller. So that's just my advice. Just don't, you know.
That's good advice.
Go over the top for big bedrooms.
It's funny because you're right. We didn't really have a lot of say-so. But I agree with you that it's a nice side effect. I had a tiny room growing up and I was never in my room.
Right.
And I think that makes a, you know, if you have a room, that's got everything.
And we have, you know, I think our house, it's interesting because now we use it as a production. We use it to produce videos in a way that we didn't when we first moved in here. We didn't do as many videos. So in hindsight, perhaps we should have gone for a different layout, but it's working, and we're certainly not going to move now, and we can't afford to move.
Everyone's terrified to move, because if we move, like, you'd be like, oh, look at this check. Oh, wait, where are we going to go?
Right. We couldn't stay in our neighborhood right now. So we were talking about it because we don't have room. We have a very narrow driveway, hence Penn accidentally running into my car. And if Lola starts driving, do we get her a car? And we've decided Penn and I are probably going to go down to just one car, and then Lola will take a car. But that means Lola's like, do I get to decorate the car? I'm like, decorate? No, you don't get to decorate a car. And it'll just be, I'm like, it'll be my car that you use mostly.
Right. I threw that out as a suggestion like 2 days ago. I didn't know that you have settled on it.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Because what a third car is so wasteful. If we have an electric bike or we call Uber.
Yeah.
And or like if we need a ride, I mean, if we need something more, we'll rent a car. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
But I'm all in.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. There's some like fun ones here. Carabella 2019 said, my 8-year-old would like to know what Penn sees when he sees a rainbow.
Because you're colorblind?
I suppose. Or maybe he's asking just because, you know, everyone has their own opinions when they see a rainbow. Mm-hmm. When I see a rainbow, first of all, I think everyone's like this. You don't actually see the delineation of the colors like you do in a piece of art, right? It's mm-hmm. just a, it's a slow transition from red to orange to yellow to violet. It's just like a, right? You don't see lines. This is a stupid question, right? Do you see lines? Like, no, there's
not. I see each color, but it's not like a cartoon rainbow.
That's interesting because I don't see any individual color, because when I look at it, I see the relation between the color next to it and the color on the other side. So I just see like a constant transition. By the way, I love rainbows and get super pumped when I see a rainbow. If you want to look up on YouTube a video called Double Complete Rainbow, there's this guy who finds a double complete rainbow like out on the West Coast, and he gets so excited.
I think he was
crying.
A little high.
I don't care.
But it was joy.
I love his joy. And I have a little bit. The reason I love that video is I have a little bit of that joy. Like, I have to be careful if I see one when driving, because I would get in a wreck, because I want to scream at the top of my lungs, what does this mean? It's so beautiful. So that's the answer to that question.
I think that's what, and I'm striving to find that joy. I mean, I think that man found maybe a little
too much joy.
He probably was served a little too much joy, but that's the sort of joy I'm looking for in the old daily life. Karen, what is your favorite place you've ever lived? If you could live anywhere, where would you live? So I think that's two separate questions.
Yes. My favorite place I've ever lived was New York City. It was logistically almost impossible for us to stay there.
Yeah.
It was already logistically hard for us to stay there in the first place. We got there because of a rent abatement in Tribeca a few years after 9/11, where we could live like in the city, because in the city is really cool, in a really nice, safe neighborhood that just happened to be 45% off on rent because the government was trying to encourage people to move back to like super downtown Manhattan near where Ground Zero was. And then we had to, you know, we had a baby and we were in a studio apartment and there was no way we could live there anymore. I had a very easy job when we lived there because ESPN was basically paying me not to work because I suck so bad. So
you did not suck. They sucked.
Well, here's the thing. I will say this. They wanted something specific. They wanted like a cookie cutter ESPN guy. And I suppose I could have been more malleable and been that way for them, but it just didn't feel right. So I was myself, and myself wasn't what they were looking for.
And good luck finding a DJ who can move and shake like this.
I kind of was like that. I do look back and I have very, very minuscule regrets that I've just always wanted to be a good employee, but I was incapable of fitting that mold. When they originally hired me, they wanted me to be myself. And when they restructured and I went from ABC Sports to ESPN, they wanted something very specific. And I just wasn't that person.
I have to say we had just gotten married. It was like the week after we got back from our honeymoon. Like during the wedding, your agent came to our wedding and he said, he's like, we're negotiating with ABC Sports. And ABC Sports for Penn Holderness was the dream job. And he was supposed to be the
video essayist.
He was supposed to do like just what he does now, but for sports, and make just funny, goofy sports videos. And so I remember we got the call from your agent and they said, and it was a good paycheck. I mean, we weren't going to retire off of it. And I looked at you and I remember jumping up and down and being so happy for you. I remember exactly where we were standing. We were at the upstairs part of our apartment. I was like, this is it. Like, this is your dream job. This is it. And like we were just married and I was so happy for you. I was so happy for us. And then within 6 months, ABC Sports got like swallowed by ESPN.
Right.
And then ESPN called and they're like, okay, if we can, and they just stopped calling you. So that they were paying you.
Well,
but
it wasn't
you
what they were looking for.
Yeah. So they just stopped calling. So you got a paycheck, which in theory is great, but you want to work.
Yeah.
So there was like an ego hit that they weren't calling.
Oh, that was brutal. That's another regret that I have. Like, I wish I could have just tried, but I think they quickly saw like, this is not what we want. This is not fitting the mold that we want. And you could even see it in the programming. They just had a very specific type of person and I just wasn't it.
And they brought you up to Connecticut. And I think they offered you something like, didn't they? It was like half.
It wasn't half. We didn't even get to the contract. They were going to rip it up and sign a new one. And I think it was going to be somewhat comparable, but certainly not more, like not going in the right direction. But most importantly, they wanted me to work overnights in Bristol. And my Florida wife had already been sweet enough to move up to New York City, which was already a bit chilly for her. You know, that was the main drawback for you living in New York, really, was the weather and the wind and just kind of the seasonal affective disorder that that was kind of creeping in. And so Bristol just didn't seem like the right answer.
And it was, I would have done it if it were your dream job. If it were your dream job.
Well, it was my dream job. It just stopped being it. It was weird.
Yeah, but if the ESPN situation was, if you're like, baby, this is it, I would have packed my bags and gone. But it was really sad. And I think we learned a lot. I was pregnant with Lola, and then your contract was expiring. You didn't have stuff.
My contract expired while Lola was born. Remember, I was doing a double shift. I was working for Major League Gaming, doing play-by-play for Halo 2 tournaments.
Yeah.
And I was doing a morning cell phone sportscast for Sprint or for one of the carriers. I can't remember which one, where I was there for an hour. And so it got to the point where if I could get in and out quickly enough, I could bring my infant with me in a car seat. And while I was doing sports in this giant cavernous studio on this desk, I would have my baby would be about 5 feet away from me, like sleeping.
We didn't have to bring her too many times because you were doing it early enough
that I could get back before you went to Inside Edition. Yeah. But there were a couple times where I had to do it.
And if I were traveling, you'd have to bring her with you.
Yeah. Me and Michelle Beadle. It was Michelle's doing great now.
She's doing great.
She's like one of the biggest names in sports right now.
I love following her.
Yeah.
That was a really tough time. And that's why, you know, we met Raquel and Kayla on The Amazing Race, and they're like that. That was like our age, like that 30s. And it was, and it's so tough for them. They're going through some stuff right now with their jobs and everything. And I just remember how hard that time was. And I'm glad I'm glad we had it, because it makes us appreciate and save our money. I'm so forever thankful that we live in a time in which we can talk into microphones and somehow create and do it on our own. Because even if you had wanted to back then in 2005, if you wanted to create your own content, video editing wasn't easy. Owning a website was so expensive. Like, learning how to create content back then by yourself was nearly impossible.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and so the question was, if you could live anywhere.
Oh my God, spiraled.
The question was, what was your favorite place you could live in if you could live anywhere? So New York was my favorite I've lived. If I could live anywhere, I would live in Manhattan Beach, California. But the government would need to remove all taxes from the world. But I just I have some friends who live there, and it just feels like so chill when you're there. It's just, we're not in that tax bracket yet, but I would live.
Well, and it's gorgeous because they pay so many taxes.
Of course.
Double-edged sword. I would say my most favorite place I've lived, I lived in South Florida for about a year and a half as a news reporter.
Yeah.
That was before I met you, so that's bad. But I worked nightside, so I went to the beach and swam every day. And in South Florida, you know, they're like, where the tropics began. The water was so blue, and I could see fish every day. And I did open water swims every day. So I think I need to be near an ocean I can swim in. So that was my favorite place. So either somewhere in Florida, although Florida politics right now I'd like to avoid. And then where would I? Yeah, so I wouldn't live in Florida right now. I love the California vibe. I think Manhattan Beach is too people-y for me right now. Yeah. But somewhere in California.
Okay. Yeah. All right, lightning round. We've got 5 minutes left. We're going to ask a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a baby pigeon? That is from Harcarius Rex.
No.
Me neither. I don't know. I don't even know why they're asking. I'm going to Google it right now. Maybe it's really cute.
Yeah.
Do frogs have ears, Laura Broad?
Yeah.
They have to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, see them.
Yeah. I think they're just like, I saw this thing on the internet where somebody lifted up and showed like a duck's ears. It's real weird. It's just like holes in the side of their head. It's real disturbing. Anyway.
Okay. Okay. I love this. L. Pressman. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, Laura.
This is a hill I'm going to die on.
It's
no.
A sandwich.
No.
It's meat and bread. That's a sandwich. But
it's not meat and bread. It's meat on a thing that's connected to itself. A sandwich has to have two separate pieces of bread to go on both sides of it. That's my belief.
Okay.
I don't think a gyro is a sandwich. I don't think a hot dog is a sandwich. I think an Oreo is a sandwich cookie.
Okay.
Because it meets that criteria.
This is not a hill I'm going to die on.
Okay, let's move on. Why are you so cute? That's from your mom, Kim.
I'm 45, almost 46, and my mom thinks I'm cute. I love her.
Do you think fish in a fish tank feel claustrophobic?
That's from Lulu and Lala.
Yeah.
Who we're about to talk to.
Yeah. So funny question. Like, Kim and I got a fish and we put it in, we thought it would be cute to put it in a flower vase, because that's like a trendy thing to do. And it died after like 3 weeks. And I feel like we didn't give it enough room to swim around.
So I do.
Yes.
Last question. Will you ever go out on tour?
Sure. But
would you want to see them?
Yeah. That's what people keep asking us. I'm like, yeah, we'll do it. Like, will you show up? And what would we do up there?
I mean, you can sing. I can't do much.
You can. I'll tell you this. When we did our podcast bit that we did live, I think the expectation was Penn's going to just like keep it going with the music. But really, your humor was better than the music. Like, you were so funny live.
You're right.
You got more zingers than right. anybody. My music was like, oh, here's the music. Okay, let's hear it is again. I just feel like people, I mean, unless I write something like brand new, can't they just see my music on the internet?
So that's
like,
a question for you. If we went on tour, would you guys come see us?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to, we're going to wrap it up because we're going to talk to Lulu and Lala.
Okay.
And guys, I hope, we were trying to lighten things up because we started real dark. I hope this was interesting. Did you care? And it's like, so, I feel like such an egomaniac. Like, do you have questions for us?
But, oh my gosh. And I also see about 1,000 other questions that I wanted to answer and we didn't get to, but
we have more time.
We can do this again.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I love you guys.
Thanks for listening, babe. I am so down with your jelly and jam store.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Let's get it started. I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.